Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into this week's episode of One Ep is Life Sife, I have great news on the Manscaped front.
Oh, I love to hear about you and your weed whacking.
I told you about the incredible Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the ultimate weapon to tame those unruly situations down there, right?
Yes, yes.
But at first, the promo code I had was Peter, and you didn't like that.
No.
Guess what the promo code is now?
Something confusing?
Juan Ep.
Ooh.
J-U-A-N-E-P. Juan
Ep. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on one of those because I've been letting my stuff grow freely and it's getting caught in a zipper. I need to manscape this thing.
Well, don't
I need
worry.
To lawnmow it.
Don't worry. They have your address. You are going to get the Lawnmower 5.0. The performance is amazing. It's a game changer in your grooming arsenal. I'm telling you, the precision, the smoothness is unlike anything you've ever had. It's incredible. Plus, if it's not all enough, Manscaped is tossing in freebies as well, all right? I'm talking about Manscaped boxers and the Shed travel bag. All in there. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com and use the code WANEP.
Yeah, we appreciate the love and support and the cleanliness.
Oh, trust me. I guarantee you're going to say, you know what? Those guys are generally just full of shit. But this this lawnmower is a game changer. 20% off right now. Manscaped.com. Juan Ep is the code.
Yo, son.
Juan Ep is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Get it out.
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. Juan Ep is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And happy 4th.
Na 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 na
them up.
Yeah.
There was so much love for last week's episode. People love the format so much of like, you get a, basically a, you get a little Siphon Rosenberg one ep episode. Then you get an interview, like getting the whole thing in one. People loved it so much that guess what? We're doing it again today.
Yeah, I can't wait. Who did we not interview this week?
Well, I did. Who did you not? Yeah. So you should say specifically, who did you not?
No, interview? I said we. Who did we not interview?
We not. Me it did.
Yeah.
Interview. Flea Lord.
Oh, I like Flea Lord.
Flea Lord. You would like Flea
Lord. Wait, what's his full name?
Flea Lordius Garvey the Third.
Who's the other one I'm thinking of? Something Cook.
Stove God Cook.
Stove God Cook. Yeah, I like him too.
Mm.
So are they related? Are they affiliated?
No, but they were on my first single, which is probably what you remember.
They're not in anything together.
No. Oh. No. But they were both on that Marcus Smart song I did together. And Flea Lord has a very interesting life. He's from Far Rock, which if you're not from here, I realized that I told him yesterday to try to describe Far Rockaway because we take it for granted. If you're not from here, it's have you ever heard of Hell on Earth? Far Rock is out there, bro. It's far away. It's a land far, far away.
It's one of those parts of New York, which is like, I don't even know. It's like a, it's kind of like a peninsula or like it's off to the right. So there's no reason to go there. There's no one, there's no just traffic passing through. It's like a dead end block, but it's a neighborhood.
And it's a
whole neighborhood.
A whole like little thin peninsula beach town.
Yeah.
Far away.
And it's a dead end block. So, you know, when you're driving, you see a dead end block. It's like, anyone who lives on a dead end block, when a car comes down your street, you're like, who the fuck is this? Because you know there's not just random traffic. It's a mailman. Oh, it's DoorDash. It's someone's DoorDash. Other than that, who the fuck is you? The whole neighborhood of Far Rock is that.
And then I said to him, I was like, also, could there be worse luck? The two biggest rappers ever out of Far Rock are Stack Bundles and Chinx Drugs.
Big Cap represented Far Rock a lot before he passed away because he moved from Brooklyn to Far Rock, which is like, I guess, like a lateral move.
Depends on part of Brooklyn you're in. It could be so many things. That's the other part, too, is like Far Rockaway is Queens, but the closest places to it are all Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a really fun conversation. And now Flea Lord has made himself a nice life, has projects with, he's a new project out right now, which is straight just boom bap. Raps and beats, you're gonna love it. So that's coming up. But there's, my lord, there's so much stuff going on, including Billy June has life updates. And if you looked at the Discord this week, I know all of you hate hearing his life updates.
Why they hate him?
No, it wasn't that at all. What they said was, I blame myself. I think they're gathering, they sense my energy and they're feeding off of me. Which is that they get frustrated sometimes at when Billy June weighs in out of nowhere.
I like it. A little flavor that you weren't expecting, a little gift from the gods.
Here's the problem. Billy giving you a little sample of what's going on is great. When he tells you he has a story, that's great, though. It's the stories he doesn't want to tell us that are great.
No, it's your fault. If you think Billy's story is going to be good. In the 15 years, it was only one. It was something about a dead rabbit.
Right.
Otherwise, it's people listening going, get your fucking life together.
But, Billy, when do you want to tell?
I like his new tough talk stories. Like, I'll smack the shit out of you. I like the new tough Billy.
Billy, you want to tell us on Patreon? What do you want to do? Because we're going to do Patreon also. What do you want to do?
We're going to go behind the paywall. Otherwise, I'm going to smack the shit out of both of you.
Oh, wow.
Go behind the paywall.
By the way, in case you're wondering, Billy's look today, Billy shaved again. And so now it looks as if he looks right now as if Rachel Maddow was abducted and taken to Abu Ghraib.
I was also told.
He looks like it's the, you know, they're doing did they do a Winnie the Pooh horror movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This Billy
Christopher Robin.
He's the star of the Blues Clues horror movie.
Exactly. No, this, by the way, no, this shot right here, right now, this look, when Trump becomes president again and goes to arrest all the journalists who attacked him, this is Rachel Maddow in jail, Simon.
I hate you guys so much. I was also told through Peter, through the Discord, remember this for Monday. Who are some of the least relevant rappers that had features on iconic songs?
Yes.
Something like Queen Penn being on No Diggity. Any other examples?
Yeah, that was I thought that was a very good comment from someone in the Discord. Thank you, Billy.
Someone wrote, Billy won't see this till 3 a.m. 2 days later. Fuck you, bro.
And he was probably right, and Billy was probably at a bar when he saw it.
No, I wasn't. And then someone said they went to my local bar and it was trash. Right. Someone wrote, I went to Willie's local bar and it was trash.
Yeah, it's a dive bar. Right?
Yeah, there's no question your bar is trash. There's no question.
Don't say
that. Hey, just real quick, so I don't forget. Wu-Tang, Jodeci, DJ Premier, and Kendrick, all the things I need to discuss.
Okay. Mm. But you got to decide what's on the paywall and what's behind the paywall.
We don't think of it that way. You know, Billy's always trying to game the system, you know. I don't want to say it out loud because if people want to find out about a paywall.
What's the want of algorithm? We don't have an algorithm, Billy June. We're just two dorks talking about hip hop.
The shape on the wall. Yo, do you ever see the clips from the NFR podcast?
NFR.
Like dorky Canadian guys talking about hip hop. Like every hip hop thing, you have to have. These guys kill the algorithm. Sife.
Not the Asian kids. No.
There's white guys. They're white Canadian dudes, yeah. And like they get mad views. They're 1-up 2024. Unlike us, you know, they actually stuck to something and follow through with it and do it every day, and so it gets mad views. Although, listen, I don't know. Maybe relative for the times when we were hot, we were relative for the times getting views. It just was a different time.
What's the word when you put things together? Not algorated, not corrugated.
Congregated.
Not congregated. Coagulate, not coagulated.
Coagulated.
Well, whatever. One of those words.
Aggregated.
Aggregated. That's it. You got it.
But shouts to those guys, because I saw so many clips from people. I guess we can start here. Yo, the level of analyzing the Drake Kendrick.
I can't.
No sight.
I just put up a post today. Okay, I get it. Hip hop's about battling. Hip hop's about beef. The one thing I got, you know, the one thing I got from this, which is very random. I saw the clip of you from your radio show with Ebro.
The show that you used to be on before you kicked off.
I used to be on that show. Ebro stole my job. I didn't know B Legit and E-40 were cousins. And I didn't know that's what the click was. I've always heard of the click. I didn't realize E-40 was in. I've been listening to the click the last 2 days. It's fire.
That's
all I got from that stupid ass fucking Kendrick. Here's my thing that I put a post up. I just can't stand that everything is about Kendrick's verse. I get it. We got to talk about it. But no one's mentioning the album, the Future and Metro Boomin album. No one, once you tear down J. Cole and Drake, you can't then shout out Future and Metro Boomin just as like a new project that's out. People making hip hop music, whether I like that type of music or not. Metro Boomin is definitely one of the producers of this generation. We can't deny that.
Undeniably. Right? Oh, yeah.
Future created a genre. Future is Dungeon Family. Yeah. You can't deny, like, you can't just take the one little part and just want to be on the algorithm so badly trying to dissect this verse.
No, Syph.
You got it.
No, Syph. This is the thing that's so crazy, too. So this may surprise you. Because I people would probably assume that I'm going to just come out of the gate and nut ride Kendrick.
Yeah. Well, they would get that from just
years of history.
Years of experience.
You're all right. And understandably so. Yo, it was good. It was fun. It was neat. People acted like, I guess people.
Wait, are they acting like it's the greatest verse ever?
Yo, bro.
It's way too subliminal to be the greatest.
I know. That's the thing. Like, it, don't get me wrong. It's very cool that it's fun, and I love that it sparked a conversation. I saw a friend of mine who, God bless him, but he goes so deep stuff on some stuff, and sometimes I'm like, my man, I don't know. Like, everyone in this era, everyone has the sort of go-ahead to break down hip-hop now. Like, there are no credentials required to do it. Everyone just jumps in and, you know, I've been listening to rap for 5 years. Let me tell you everything that's going on. I understand all of it.
Let me tell you about Kendrick Lamar.
Let me tell you about Kendrick Lamar. This guy I'm friends with goes, the Prince Outlive Mike Jack might be one of the greatest bars in hip hop history. Guys.
What does he say?
Prince outlived Mike Jack.
What?
Like, and then everyone's analyzing exactly what that means. Well, you know, technically Prince did outlive Michael Jackson, but also Prince's kind of music, you know, has that outlived Michael Jackson? Obviously, this all being a play on, because we're getting into it, everybody. Drake keeps talking about being Michael Jackson because he's about to tie Michael Jackson's record. Mm. And Kendrick's like, I'm the artsy one. I'm Prince. Let you be Michael Jackson. I'm Prince. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest bar. It's not the greatest bar in history.
No, it's a great bar.
To get you talking. Warm it up.
Analogy of how they are playing, you know, the game. If Drake is about to tie Michael Jackson's record for whatever, that's a great analogy. Well, I'm the prince of this shit. Okay, great. It's not the greatest bar ever.
Bro, you know what I care about the most? You know what me and Syfe, you know what? Let everyone else talk about what they want to talk about. Here's what I want to talk about. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't even know. I never listened to a Rodney O and Joe Cooley song in my life.
What's that?
You remember Rodney O and Joe Cooley?
No.
You don't even remember Rodney O and Joe Cooley?
Joe Cooley from Philly?
No. Well,
who am I thinking of?
They're from Southern California. But you don't remember? You never heard of the group Rodney O and Joe Cooley? Come on, yeah.
No. No, man. Yeah. Oh, I've heard the song before. Oh, that's what they sampled?
Yeah, but it's funny. I've only always known Rodney O and Joe Cooley by name. I never knew the record. This is Everlasting Bass was like their joint.
Oh, that makes me kind of. You kind of like the record less. The bass that's in your face, show enough,
shrug your face, just like you got. Makes you like what less?
The Kendrick record, the Metro Boomin.
Why?
I thought he made that beat.
You didn't know that was a straight lift, huh?
No, I didn't know. Because I thought he played the, that's that Barry White shit in the background.
Yeah, for this too. Sprayed by a can of mace. You see, your speaker is moving. Everybody is grooving. My song moves along as it starts improving. The highs will get no higher. The bass will go no lower. Because everlasting bass show enough moves a flower. Some people can't take it. They try to plead the case. But you can't get enough of everlasting bass. So you didn't
know
that.
Flip. It's a good flip.
I was trying to find. Do you know that? Have you listened at all to the Metro Boomin and Future We Don't Trust You album yet?
No, I need Instagram and TikTok reviews first, and no one's doing it.
Is that really what you need first?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, hold on. How about this? So, have you seen this at least? That the angle. This is kind of interesting. One of the ways that they've been promoting the album, and apparently this is all over the album with interludes, is this
fucking garbage ass rappers out here running around like these niggas ain't supposed to be rappers, son. You know what I mean? This game's meant for select few, man. You know what I'm saying? This is select few. And that's what it is today, man. I don't give a fuck. Ain't nothing changed, man. Always remember that.
This is Prodigy.
Fucking changed.
Yeah, that's Prodigy, Syfe. That's Prodigy to you and me.
What is this from?
I think it's a YouTube video or something.
Interview or something? Or
yeah, like a random, like kind of just him talking shit. Know what I mean?
Where's Prodigy from Juan at when he was talking about having mad cereal? Where's that interview? That's the type of shit we should be putting up. Not this beef shit.
You hear that, Emilio? We need to find the Prodigy talking about mad cereal and let that go.
And don't edit this part out, Emilio.
And don't edit the part out of us talking about the part. And yeah, don't edit out the part of us telling you not to edit it.
Yeah. Let 1UP free, Emilio. Let 1UP live. Let it breathe.
But yeah, apparently these Prodigy clips are like throughout the entire We Don't Trust You album. And
was that a video for it? Just of the interlude?
That was like an album trailer. Mm. But apparently, there's also, I'm looking for it.
I don't even know. I couldn't pick out Metro Boomin if he came, if he walked up to me. I wouldn't know what he looks like.
I know. Physically, I got to tell you, I wouldn't really either.
No disrespect.
There's also a flip on the Metro Boomin album.
From what I hear of Metro Boomin, he is like a hip hop head, right? It feels like it.
I mean, it certainly seems that way. And Metro Boomin's not a kid at this point. I mean, he's been doing this for a minute. Here we go. Yeah.
We done seen it all. Done it all.
Ooh. Ooh.
Don't trust it.
Ooh. Why is nobody talking about this?
Bro, these bitches back out rocking these platinum chains. She give it to a third nigga. That's my claim to fame. Chanel body suit. When it rained, diamonds galore. You suffered under the stars. You can forget how you was living before. She keep it P with a player, so she never at me. I'm getting money, I got my lawyer hoes, can't attack me. The niggas rain you down with a gun like he in a trap me. Sent through a cleaner crew, they pissing with that iron. Look the nigga in the eyes, see if you gon' cross. Coco number five, bitch, eating up a bus.
No baseline.
Keep my bitch close, but I keep the goons close. That period, by the way, sit bubbly on the floor. Came up from the block selling the rawest coke. You might OD out this shit, nigga, ain't never enough. Richard Mill cost a house, it ain't never enough. $700 on a truck to seize braids. Me and my brothers, we been freaks in rotation. Sometimes they move on, they still can't replace. I lose a stone to get replaced the same day. From trapping out my granny house to rapping on the stage. I want it all, I know these streets gon' have to feed me. These hoes down, I'm letting them hit it off the whole key. Got rich in this shit, got a clip, hold up 50. You try to keep up with me, gon' be OV. I cook that white girl uncut, you might OD.
Fire.
Got 36 in a pack.
So there's a
no
lot
of baseline, though. No. That's crazy.
Well, not, there's a, it's not like the.
I'm saying, he didn't sample the, I mean, he didn't replay the baseline, just the chords.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Dun, dun.
That's sick. That's sick. I give you that one, Boomin. Metro Boomin. What do you call him when you see him?
Matt. You call him Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Or is it Tro? Maybe call him Tro.
What about call him Min? What's up, Min?
Oh, the Min part of Metro Boomin?
Of Boomin, yeah. What's up, Min? Min.
Maybe that's it. So, Rodney, by the way, Rodney and Joe Cooley. They are from Riverside.
Oh, I was just in Riverside.
Joe Cooley's from Compton. Sorry. Rodney O's from Riverside. Joe Cooley's from Compton. And General Jeff is from L.A. Their biggest songs are Everlasting Bass, Cooley High, and This Is For The Homies. At the height of their popularity, the group toured with MC Light, N.W.A., Kool Moe Dee, and Grandmaster Flash. They would gain more popularity in South Florida than Southern California.
Oh.
Giving them, and they ended up getting a pioneering role in Miami Bass.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Did you watch the Freaknik documentary?
Not yet. I'm about to.
It's pretty interesting. The beginning parts of how, because as long as we can remember, Atlanta's been on top of the fucking game of the music chain, mm-hmm. especially hip hop. But they talk about it wasn't like that, like before Freaknik, like before Jermaine Dupri really like made Atlanta a thing. Like there was nothing really coming out of there. And when you think about it, I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Like I thought there was just a bunch of shit we didn't hear of. But Jermaine Dupri and Dungeon Family really broke the fucking Atlanta shit open.
Yeah, like
it they said the early version of Freaknik. Luke was going down there, like, running it. Because there was no Atlanta artist. There was no Atlanta scene.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
So Luke was going down there and just fucking.
Sorry?
Just fucking, man. Sorry, is this the paywall? Behind the paywall?
Or no, I don't use those words for the paywall.
Oh, guys, listen. Come catch me live.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to be in North Kentucky. I figured out they call it Northern Kentucky. Right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Common, oh man, I always forget the name, Commonwealth Sanctuary, the Commonwealth Sanctuary.
Well, you were fucking up by referring to the specific town name. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say Northern Kentucky.
God. Dayton, Kentucky is the town, but that's just the address.
Right.
Northern Kentucky. Really, right outside of Cincy. 29th and 30th, I'll be out there doing the comedies. Now, I'm hearing Killer Mike will be at Dave Chappelle's club doing a secret pop-up show. I'd rather you come to my show, but if you want to see Killer Mike on the 29th, then come check me on the 30th. I will be okay with that. After my show, I will be running out to Yellow Springs, Ohio to hang out with Killer Mike and DJ Trackstar.
How far is Yellow Springs?
Hour drive, hour 10, the most.
Oh, that's light work for you.
Light. Light.
Did you hang out with Wu-Tang this past weekend?
Bro, I didn't. A little bit. Bro, first and foremost, let me get to this real quick. Not real quick. One Ep style. First and foremost, flew out to Vegas to go see the Jodeci residency. For a long travel day, flight delayed, connecting flight missed, blah, blah, blah. Get to House of Blues. It's ghetto fabulous.
Yeah.
What was what I expected. But it
what'd
was
you wear? Black. What'd you, did you dress
no,
up?
No. I had a polo. I threw on a polo.
You threw on a polo?
I threw on a polo shirt to be respectful. But, bro, ghetto fabulous. But, man, the DJ, he was okay. He was playing a lot of R&B. He was jumping a little too much eras. It was bothering me a little bit, but he was playing good music. No mic game. Could have really had that crowd going crazy. Because we had to wait like an hour and a half before they came out.
Of course. What did you think? They didn't show up at the ticket time?
No, I think they were on time of their show time. They just don't tell you that. They get you in the building early so you can buy drinks and all that shit.
Right, have a good time.
But I could have used a little more entertainment while we were waiting. That's just me.
Okay.
JoJo was not there. He was sick. Apparently, the last show they did, he got sick and was escorted out. But Casey, Devontae, Dalvin, oh my God, bro. And the band was sick. Very, like, hardcore R&B, leaning on gospel-y sounds, heavy chords, really good band. Amazing. I was hoping Rain Ghost would come out. They didn't come out. They didn't do any of the DJ B-side remixes that we love. All straight regular album versions.
What about Come and Talk to Me?
Regular album version. They at one part they put the Impeach drums, but just like one little part.
Wow.
But still incredible.
Okay.
Boom. Day off. Go shopping. Shout out to Almighty Originals store out there. I like blah blah blah. Bro, the next day, I'm staying in the hotel where the Wu-Tang show is, the Virgin Hotel. And just all day, just Wu shirts, Wu hoodies, like people with Wu tattoos. No, it was fucking,
for real? It was like that?
I'm getting excited throughout the day. Like, you'll see a hood, Brooklyn dude, sunglasses, jeans sagging, Wu shirt, and then a white country redneck looking dude, same Wu-Tang hoodie. You know what I mean? Like, just, so throughout the whole day, I'm seeing all this in the lobby.
What day of the week was this?
Friday.
Right, okay.
So I'm getting excited. I'm my Wu-ness is starting to come out.
Wait, but how did you, on a Friday, didn't you have to be at the radio station doing your midday radio show?
I have it on satellite.
Okay, you did
via satellite.
Via satellite. Got
actually, with that show, I did say I was in Vegas. It was like, I'm damn in right. Vegas, y'all. Like, because it's the Cypher Sounds adventure. So right. Sometimes I tell them I'm on the road. Sometimes I don't.
Well, and for a Wu-Tang adventure, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, bro, so fucking, I get in there. I'm like third row. Excellent seats. DJ Scratches on. I called Rob Swift. He wasn't doing it this time. I don't know what happened, but DJ Scratch was opening up. Love DJ Scratch. Could have used a little tiny bit more energy, a little bit.
In the warm-up.
And then the warm-up, he had like I know it's Vegas. Maybe because I was walking around the hotel all day. He was playing like the top end of 90s. Hip hop, you know what I mean? Like Sugar Hill Gang played at one point, and Sugar Hill Gang and like Apache, dun dun, run and jump on it. I didn't need that at a Wu show. I didn't need it. The type of people that were in there. Look, if you're a Wu fan and you brought your girl, she gonna have to sit through this one.
Well, she's there. She knows what she's in for.
Yeah, but I didn't hear Shook Woods at all. Like he goes, I'm about to play some. It's about to get y'all crazy. Y'all love hip hop. Y'all love the 90s. And it wasn't Shook Ones. You know what I mean? Like, I was like,
what was it?
I don't remember. It was like, I think that's when he played Rapper's Delight.
Oh, no, that's weird.
It's a little or something like Rapper's Delight. Anyway, I didn't hear enough Tribe. It was good, though. I'm not knocking it. I'm just, for my personal taste.
For your taste, you're saying the warm-up.
Oh, I remember what it was. He goes, it's about to get grimy. I'm about to play some shit, about to get grimy. And I'm like, oh, Shook Ones for sure. It was 50, What Up Gangster. Fine. Everybody sang along. It was fine. Anyway, whatever.
It just, the overall, you'd say it could have been a little less commercial because it's a Wu-Tang show.
Only reason why I say that is because of what I was seeing all day long.
Is because you want Scratch to call you later and say, what the fuck?
No, I don't care. I was walking around all day long and then walking into the theater. Mind you, I bought tickets. I did not get any free tickets. This was me going in as a fan, as a customer.
That's it.
I kind of get it now by always walking in through the back and just doing your thing. From now on, even when I do comedy, I'm going to go take a lap. Because if you would have saw the people in the lobby, the people walking in, you would have been like, oh, I could thug this out. I could thug this opening set out a little bit. So anyway, the show starts and fucking the band comes out. Band is much more of a hip-hop band, different than what I was saying at Jodeci, which is more gospel-y R&B, like real R&B. Bro, the band comes out and then these like dancers come out. Okay. But they're like, there's like five dancers, but they're doing like kung fu moves. And they're like, they're not really like doing like crazy dances. Like, it's just kind of like hip hop. They're like bopping. Like, it looked so cool. They all had on Wu shirts and they were kind of just bopping their head to certain songs and fucking moving to the beat. Like, but like hip hop style, not like over choreographed dancing. And then RZA comes out and man, the fucking place goes bananas. Bananas, bro. And he does like a freestyle over bang bang. We shot you down, bang bang. Mm-hmm. He hit the ground, Wu-Tang, shot you down, bang bang. Oh, I was like, woo. And then so I had a bet. I was like, okay, first songs are either Protect Your Neck or Bring the Ruckus.
I'm going Bring the Ruckus.
Bring the Ruckus. So, yeah. Son, so he comes out, he does a little bang bang thing, and then you hear, burr, burr, and then they all come running out. Woo!
Did bro, people go like, crazy?
Crazy, crazy, crazy. And then then they just start running through. I don't want to ruin a few. You should definitely go check it.
Yeah,
I think they're doing another run in September, I think. They did Bring the Ruckus. Then they did, I forget what the order, a couple Wu songs. Then they go away. There's like a swordsman comes out. He chops down all the dancers. Boom, boom, boom. Because they were all in black Wu-Tang hoodies. But what I loved about it, they all had like sparkles on their Wu hoodie, the Wu logo. So it's like a head nod to Vegas. Like you go to Vegas to see a certain type of show. This is the hip hop version. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the screens, the images, fucking sick. Music is sick. Then they come out and like, I mean, you know, oversized Avirexes and fucking just wooed out. Just looking like woo. Then they do like, you know, they did Criminology. They did Ice Cream. Oh, when Meth came out, because everybody was like, is Meth going to be here? Meth didn't come right away. He came out like the third song. And then, it's always a crapshoot if Meth is going to be there, right?
Wow. What song did he come out on?
I want to say
Cash Rules.
No, oh, he came out on Shame on a
The meth will on, come out yeah, tomorrow.
Right. He came out Shame on a because they had old Dirty Bastard's son, Young Dirty Bastard.
How was Young
he did
Dirty?
A great job. He, great job. He plays Old Dirty very well, bro. Very well.
Like, it makes you actually feel like he's there, kind of, right?
Bro, he's there. He's there. The only thing is that the couple Wu shows I saw when I was younger with Old Dirty Bastard, he kind of almost fucks up the show a little bit. Like, he's talked so much, you know what I mean? Like, interrupting shit, which is what he does.
You mean Old Dirty?
Yeah, the real Old Dirty.
You mean, so the only thing that Young Dirty doesn't do is full-on take over and ruin the show.
Yeah, exactly.
He just does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, so Meth comes out on Shame on Her, and then they go crazy. And it's like, doing Shame on Her is like fire. Like, it's, you know, that's an album cut. These are album cuts. And people going crazy. And then they do like a You God solo song. An Inspector Deck solo song, and you feel the energy dip. No disrespect.
When they did You God solo songs?
And one You God, and one Inspector Deck. Just like
they did You God. You don't know what songs they were.
I don't even know. I didn't recognize it.
I bet.
No
I
disrespect.
Bet. I wonder but if like, you got the bizarre.
I guess like everyone gets their time, you know what I mean? Like a Capadonna song. And then whatever. Then they do Cream.
Did they
Criminology?
Did they hit that SWV anything though?
No. There's a lot of songs they didn't do. So then they go away again for a second. There's like some little interlude thing. Then just Rain Ghost come out, do Criminology, but they Ice didn't cream. Do Incarcerated. Whoop. They didn't do. Yeah, they missed a lot. They missed a lot, bro. And the show was like a tight. I want to say hour 40, like hour and a half, hour 40. Like it was tight. But I was like, I could have used.
Yeah, so Yosef, should we go to RZA and just say, listen, just because we want it to be our dream, can you let us creative direct one? Let us do one. Let us give you our version. We'll map out an hour 40 and you see what you think.
Yeah.
Because the art, it's so funny. Artist's perspective of songs is so different than fans, too.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you do Incarcerated, which is a solo Raekwon, just do the first verse. You can cut down the time. You don't got to do the whole length of the songs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you got to do the chorus at least. You got to give me a minute of Incarcerated. I need a second of it.
Mind you, I'm nitpicking. It was
no, you
amazing.
Loved it. You had a great time, and you recommend it for everybody.
Bro, and then Meth. Then they kind of all they didn't do Bring the Pain, which is weird. And then everyone starts disappearing, and then you just hear Rockweiler come in, and Meth is standing there by himself. Meth is by himself, and he rocks, and you could feel, bro, you could feel the tension. Is he coming out? Is he coming out? Was there a flight from Newark, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
To Las Vegas?
Because he's Wu-Tang and Jace.
He's the cousin. Bam! Reggie Noble, son. The biggest roar of the night. The biggest roar of the night.
Really?
It was, bro, Reggie came out and they went bonkers bananas, bro. Like, but you could feel it. Like, he wasn't doing the ad-libs of Meth. He like, and then there was a couple other songs where it got cut short. So you're like, well, they're cutting songs off. Maybe, you know, Bright Reggie's not here. There's not enough time. When he came out, bro, they went fucking nuts.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you guys right now why I hate to do this. We got to do our Patreon episode. Coming up right now, we have our interview with Flea Lord that you're really going to love.
I'm going to tell the rest of the Wu thing.
Well, but you can finish it on Patreon. Because I'm
behind the paywall.
Also, how about this, Syph? Syph and I came up with a plan the other day. We came up with I haven't run this by Syph. You might tell me to set up and not do it here, but Syph and I came up with an event that we're doing, okay? It's limited. It's very small. It's not going to be wide tickets or anything like that. But Syph, I think on Patreon, we should discuss it.
Okay.
And I think we should brainstorm who the guest should be on the podcast.
How we always do.
So we got that. We got to get into Hot 97 drama. We got to talk about a one-up event that we're planning right now. More Wu-Tang.
I got to finish this Wu.
Then Billy Jones.
And DJ Premier. I got some DJ Premier shit.
Oh. All right. So we hope you'll join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Juan Epp is life.
It's $100. Relax.
$100?
Getting $750.
Yeah, see? No. It's almost $100 for the year. For an entire year of content. A year. But not even. So we hope you'll join us there. If not, just enjoy this incredible interview with a flea lord.
Plus all the content from the past 2 years.
Right, Billy June. It's a great point. Because now when you sign up for Patreon, you have 2 years of episodes. So like you're going on that road trip. You're like, I need shit to listen to. You got mad Patreon episodes you never even heard.
Peace and blessings.
All right, here's my interview with Flea Lord. Enjoy. Flea, what's popping?
Oh, my brother. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me here, man.
I'm happy to have you, man. It's easy to look forward to doing a little quote-unquote work on a Sunday when it's someone you like and respect and appreciate. And for y'all who are not familiar with Flea Lord, first of all, he has a new album out right now called Full Court Press with Crisis, who's a producer out of the Bronx. C-R-I-S-I-S. Yeah. Not to be confused with a producer friend who I've had for many years from North Carolina, Crisis with a K.
Crisis with a K.
Yeah. Who's also a dope producer, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Shouts to that Crisis as well. But your guy Crisis is nice, bro.
Oh, man. I ain't going to hold you. Me and Crisis have been building for a while, but we didn't get to build on a project, you know what I'm saying? Came like 2023, you know, us just building. I did a feature for Cortez. You know, Cortez, he battle raps, but he was stepping in into creating albums and, you know, stepping in that lane with the underground. So me and him was building, you know what I'm saying? And he like, yo, Flea, I need you on this joint. And the joint was fire. So I went over to Crisis Lab. And man, like I said, we've been building, but this is the first time I got to build him in the flesh and, you know, really get to kick it, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like one-on-one time and, you know, playing beats and shit. So right after I did the feature for Cortez, before I was about to slide, but I'm like, you know what? I live about an hour and a half away from the Bronx. So I'm like, let me just chill here for a minute. I'm like, yo, play some shit, bro. And he played like one joint and it was like, all right, cool. That wound up going on 2-3 zone. And then he played another joint. We did another joint. So I did the feature, then I did like two joints. I'm like, yo, we might as well just do a tape, bro. So he was with it, you know what I'm saying?
There's something very boom bap classic about him, but right now at the same time. You know what I mean?
I mean, what's crazy is when I first heard, bro, I'm like, this is what I'm looking for right now because, you know, in 2023, when I did 2-3 Zone with him, I was actually trying to find myself in a different direction of what I did in the past. So, like, that sound that he had, I'm like, this is where I wanted to go. So it was just, like, perfect timing of us building. And, you know, I had other projects, you know, that was about to drop before me and Crisis dropped 2-3 Zone. And it went so well that I didn't even, you know, continue on working on those other projects. I actually put them on, you know, on hold till this year.
So actually, let me give people a little taste of the flavor right here. Maybe you're not, because some of y'all listen real late and you've heard a bunch of these joints and previous joints, but like, I've been playing a few, definitely been playing this one.
Just touched down.
I just touched down.
I done flew in from Houston.
Yeah.
I streamed your last album.
I streamed your last album.
The music was putrid. Bullshit loose.
The same bullshit loose.
From your stupid producer. They take 60%.
They take 60%.
From everything in the future.
From everything in the future.
Y'all just switched by the year, ain't no click copper here. You ain't invited to the table, get your ass out the chair. Drop a classic boom back for all the cats who use rap. Working through the day and for those who have to move back.
Yeah, he's got this. There's a real nice sound to this whole project, man. Every joint, you added Inspector Deck to this joint.
Okay, okay.
Got the legend on here, man.
How did that happen?
I wound up doing a feature for something he was working on with PA Dre Beats, I believe. And I did the feature, and then, you know, we reached out to him like, bro, how would you feel about getting on Full Court Press with us? And he was like, yo, Flea, I'm with it, man. Like, I'll be honored. You know what I'm saying? You sent me a drama. Let me send one back. And yeah, man, that shit came out amazing, man. I feel like that's a real hip hop song that I needed a legend on there. You know what I'm saying? I needed a living legend on there to walk with me. You know what I'm saying? And he talked, man. Like, I'm happy because that's actually my fourth Wu member I worked with too.
Who do you got so far?
I got Ghostface with a feature with Rock Marcy, Gucci Loafers and Wallabies, produced by DJ Muggs. Mm. And I have a song with Raekwon called Wu Lords, mm-hmm. That's produced by Havoc on a project called In the Name of Prodigy.
Mm.
So, you know, I worked with, damn, that's crazy. Like Mobb Deep, we have Havoc producing a song for me and Raekwon. I have Muggs producing a song for me, Rock, and Ghostface.
It's crazy.
And you know, Conway had hit me recently about a song with him and Method Man, so I put a verse with that, you know what I'm saying? So now I got to work with Meth too as well. So.
And Inspector Deck. It's crazy. Yeah. So for people who are unfamiliar with your story, you're originally from Far Rock.
Yeah. Yep.
Before you were living this nice, you know, cushy dad New Jersey life, you were once running the streets in Far Rock.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's crazy is, you know, I was running around in Rockaway and shit like that. You know, my mom's being Puerto Rican and black. My pops is, you know, German.
Let's try to set the scene here. Because yeah. I think we take for granted when we talk about, like, New York, that everybody has a layout of everything. So Rockaway Beach is another island, right? It's like... It's far. It's basically as far as you can go on the train.
Yeah.
And it's a beach. And there's literally a beach there, right?
Yep.
So Far Rock is mad far away from the city. It's called Queens, but it's dumb far.
It's actually its own little spot. Like, it's part of Queens, but it's actually Far Rock is Far Rock.
It's really its own thing.
Yeah, we on the other side of Coney Island, too. You know,
so that's the thing also.
South of Nems.
Yeah, you're also, it's also weird because it's Queens, but kind of the closest places to you in city-wise are Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or you're really closest to Brooklyn, but you're way the fuck out by the beach. And... yeah, like, there's, like, it's kind of like one thin road that basically goes straight through Far Rockaway, right? Isn't it kind of one way
actually,
in and out?
Actually, two ways, you know what I'm saying? Two ways in a rock. You could come from, you know, the top, or you could come in from, like, you know, Maud Ave area. Like,
right, but
know?
It's really one road, essentially, right?
Yeah, actually, yeah, like, you know, if you want to get tech, you could come in through, like, JFK area, you know what
right.
I'm saying? But, you know, I ain't going to hold you, like, I lived in Rockaway for, like, since I was born to like 11 years old,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then I moved from, you know, from 11, you know, being that my mom's was murdered out there in Rockaway by some, you know, crazy fuck, you know what I'm saying? He actually killed five other women as dudes.
What?
Like, yeah, I don't even know who this motherfucker name and that. Like, can I curse?
Yeah, you already did. We're here.
Shit,
that's, you're good. You're fine. Wait, but I didn't know. I didn't know this. I didn't know the depth of this story.
Yeah. Like that. That's who this was. This is who Flea Lord is. So Flea Lord, basically, I come from Far Rock. I was born in St. John's Hospital. And, you know, my pops, you know what I'm saying? He was a, you know, he was a getting money dude. You know, he was a good mechanic, played music and shit like that with his brothers. Then he got into selling drugs with the Colombians and then, you know, got caught.
And he's a German guy.
Yeah, he's American and German. You know okay. what I'm saying? And he started getting high and shit like that on coke and then graduated later on in life and shit like that. And here you go, like, you know, my pops is, you know, good dude and shit like that, but you know, he got strung out on drugs and fucked him up. And then my mom's was murdered in 93. I was 11 years old.
They were not together?
Nah, they separated.
They'd already been separated, okay.
Yeah, he was fucking with some other bitch. You
know and and
God bless her soul. I won't call her a bitch because she passed away too.
And your mom was the guy who killed her. Was it someone she knew or something?
Nah, my mom's was selling drugs, you know what I'm saying? Trying to make ends meet and shit like that. And I kind of knew, you know what I'm saying, at that time. So, yeah, like, just one day, like, you know what I'm saying, out of the blue, like, this one dude comes, you know what I'm saying, white dude, tall motherfucker. I remember, too, because she's like, yo, I'll be back. I got to go make this, you know, this bust this move. Like, she basically told me, like, I knew she sold drugs, you know what I'm saying? Like, she had this little job where she made statues and shit, but she really was, like, you know, selling drugs and shit like that when we was living in Far Rockaway. She was selling drugs in a building called 7115. at the time, that's where I was living at. That's like between the 60s and like Hamels and shit like that, boy. And Rockaway, the people know what's up. But yeah, so my mom's basically, I walked her down the hall and I seen a dude like near the staircase. And my mom's basically, when she used to sell drugs, she tried not to be in the elevator with the fiends, so she would take the stairs. But that one dude, like, she never came back home, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was home about 6 days by myself, went to school, come back home. My house door still open and shit like that. Because I'm 11 years old. I ain't have a key at the time, you know what I'm saying? So my house door would still be open. I'm like, all right, mom's in here. Then I would go to my grandma's crib that where my pop stayed at on 64th Street. I would go over there. But I didn't tell nobody that my mom's didn't come home. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Because I actually, there was a time my mom got arrested one time. And I was staying at her friend's house, and she didn't come for like 2 days. So like, you know,
so it wasn't. So it wasn't like you were immediately thinking something horrible happened.
Yeah, I thought she got arrested, but then like on the, you know, second, third day, fourth day, fifth day, I'm like, oh man, I think my mom's is gone. Like at 11 years old, I felt like my mom's was dead because I kind of knew the lifestyle she was leading. You know what I'm saying, and what she was getting into, and I just felt weird with that one white dude that she left. And it's crazy because, like I said, that one white dude killed like five other women. So
you
like,
found that out later.
Yeah, later on in life. I mean, as I got older, because like nobody explained to me, like, you know what I'm saying, what really happened to my mom's. And then, you know what I'm saying, like I got older and then my sister eventually told me and shit like that. Yeah.
So this guy was like a...
He was a psychopath, just, you know what I'm saying, raping bitches and shit like that and killing them. Yeah, yep, and... There you go.
Do you remember anything about a trial or like anything else? Or?
Actually, I, you know, when I was young and like I was at school one day and I, you know, it was a half a day. I never forget this. It was a half a day and the detectives came up to me and they were like, you know, we're looking for David. And I'm like, I don't know no David. It's like, so we're looking for Sonny. So I'm like, I don't know. And they was like, we're trying to help you find your mom. So I'm like, okay, all right, cool. So my mom not with y'all. And the cop was like, nah. He's like, you want to come with us and we can try to, like, you know, discuss. So in a sense, like at 11 years old, I knew what was snitching. So I didn't want to say too much because I didn't want to get my mom in trouble. But then I'm also like, you know, like, shit, my mom's probably might be dead. You know what I'm saying? So now here I am, 11 years old in the precinct in Far Rockaway. They brought me some McDonald's and shit like that, asking me questions. So I'm really not trying to say my mom sell drugs, obviously. So, yeah, he's like, do you know where your mom's, like, would be hanging out at and shit like that? So I'm like, not really, like, you know. So he's like, does she have any friends over here? I'm like, not really, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, my mom's actually know a lot of people. But, yeah, so they you know, they left me in the precinct for a couple hours and then come back. And he's like, hey, I have some bad news, kid. So I'm like, my mom's dead. And he was like, yeah, I'm sorry, son. So I was like, all right, just, you know, call my pops. And they couldn't even get a hold of my pops because my pops, you know, he was fucking around. And my uncle wound up coming to get me and shit like that, in which, you know, I haven't seen him in mad years. Like, he don't fuck with me no more.
So did you end up then going with your dad after your mom's died?
Well, I stayed with my dad for about a week. And I caught myself, like, you know, just like, you know, doing dumb shit. I smoked the Marlboro. That shit took me to the moon. As a young kid, man. And yeah, that shit took me to the moon. So I said, yeah, no more bogeys, you know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know, do what the homies do. They were smoking Newports and shit.
You tried one more.
I tried the red pack, and that shit took me to the moon. I was like, all right, cool. But I caught myself, you know, even smoking weed at that age, you know what I'm saying? And hanging with older kids and then my pops, you know, basically just, you know, being high and not giving a fuck. So, you know, my sister just had my nephew at the time when my mother went missing. So my nephew was born December 1st. My mom's, her body was found December 6th.
Wow.
Yeah, so my sister was, like, you know, in labor, and she wasn't living with, you know, with us at the time. My sister was living in Brooklyn. I was living with my mom's in Far Rockaway. So, excuse me, my sister wound up, you know, she, you know, basically knew what happened to my mom's, and she came and got me and then took me to my aunt's house with her for a little while. And it's a crazy story. Like, in my documentary, I explained some shit that my aunt, you know, basically did in the past to me. So, like... Yeah, I went through some shit. So she took me to that crib, and I was just like, man, like, I told her I didn't want to be there. You know what I'm saying? And we wound up going to a shelter. And they tried to take me away from my sister because she was, like, 18 at the time, and she wasn't old enough to be my legal guardian. So, you know, yeah, they tried to take me away. So he's running around and shit for like about a year and a half, 2 years.
This is while she has a brand new baby.
Yeah, yep. So we're in the shelter, like on the run, trying to stay away. Like, it's crazy because I didn't go to school for like damn near 2 years.
Wow, from 11 to 13.
Yeah, yeah.
And your mom just died.
Yep.
And then you obviously had something not great happen with at your aunt's house.
Yeah, some crazy shit. So it's like,
this is a lot of heavy.
Yeah, so now we're going to a shelter in the Bronx. And I wind up like, you know, man, crazy. I remember like a 17-year-old kid, like when I was like 13, motherfucker snuffed the shit out of me. Oh my God. Snuffed the shit out of me. And I wore that. I just took it.
For no reason?
Yeah, for no reason. Like, and he's like, I'm telling you, he's a bigger kid. I remember this shit clear as day. Motherfucker came up to me and socked me on the bus. Bow! Woke my ass up. I'm like, whoa. I just took that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I said, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? I got off the bus and that shit, I had a nice little knot on my shit. I'm like, damn, like I really couldn't even fight that dude back, but I'm like, I'm gonna get him. So, yeah, when I got back to the, you know what I'm saying, to the shelter where we were staying at, I told my sister, like, yo, we gotta jump this motherfucker. Like, I need your help. Like, this motherfucker punched me mad hard, sis. Like, I just teared one time and I ate it. You know what I'm saying? She was like, oh, nah, we not having that. So my sister went to the, you know, cause in the shelter we was in, wasn't like some shit with beds and all that. It was really like you have like a little apartment with your little, you know, your two beds in there, a little hot plate, shit like that. But you got your own little.
So you and your
like,
sister had a little room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's how they was doing in certain shelters and shit in the Bronx. So, yeah, man, shit crazy too, man. But
you ended up getting back.
She went to his mom's crib and popped on the mom's, and then you know what I'm saying, like it got crazy. You know what I'm saying? And then the son came, and then my sister, like we jumped the brother. You know what I'm saying? But she let me get the one on first. You know what I'm saying? We was getting the one on first. And then he got a little strong when he started choking me and shit. And my sister, that's when she went to work. So shout out my sister, man. Because, yeah, I felt good, like, having, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't feel good having my sister jump in. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that was my only family. My mom's ain't here. My pops is, you know, he fucking around. I don't want to disrespect him, call him a fiend. But, you know, it is what it is. So I didn't have, you know, and it's crazy. I didn't have no cousins and brothers or, you know, whatever the case may be around at that time.
You and your sister, same mom and dad?
Nah, different pops. Different pops. Yeah, her pops is Spanish.
How are you and your dad now?
I just talked to him the other day, but before, like, me talking another day, I probably ain't speak to that nigga for, like, a year and a half.
So it's just, it's still hit and miss?
I mean, shit, man, you know what's crazy is the fact that, you know, I feel like the streets raised me. I feel like music raised me. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, you know, shit is totally different. Like, ain't nobody ever going to sock me. You know what I'm saying? Like, never. So the fact that, you know, the streets and the music raised me, and my pops didn't, you know what I'm saying? I actually teach my pops how to be a better father. So, you know what I'm saying? That's like my homie. More than my dad, but I love him.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
But it's like a homie more than
a dad. Yeah, I don't got no parents.
And so your dad, and when you do see him, sees you now act as a father. Like, he gets to see, but you figured that out on your own.
He don't get to see that. He just get to hear about it. Cause right. Like I said, I haven't talked to him in a minute. I don't drive to Rockaway to see my pops. I don't drive to Rockaway unless if I have to. Like, I don't have a license and I still be driving around. So I gotta fix that up. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I just feel like since the relationship wasn't there when my mom's died, and even with my family, like when my mom's died and the relationship, how, you know, certain people collected money for my mom's funeral and then passed the bread to my sister when we buried her and shit, and we had to have a fucking shitty funeral. You know what I'm saying? Me being 11 years old, I remember that. Like, I don't give a fuck about my family, like certain family members. So, like, you my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I trust people and they become family after I gain that trust with them and I fill them out as a person. So, like, I, you know, a certain family I fuck with, but, you know, I really don't got close relatives like that. My homies is my relative. I mean, even, like, right now, my pops, like I said, like, I fuck with them and it's all love, but...
Not in a family way like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I still kiss him on the cheek if I see him because I love him, you know what I'm saying? But he ain't teach me how to be a man and he ain't do nothing to set me out in the future. Like, when you have kids, you never stop being a parent. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I look at it like, right now, my daughter, she, you know, she has a job. She's taking care of herself, doing the right thing. But she has, you know, where one of my credit cards, that she can take an Uber or spend whatever the fuck she want from one of my credit cards, because it's like, I don't have to send you cash unless you really need cash. If you need cash, I'll send you a Cash App, you take the bread out, or I'll send you money through your Zelle, whatever the fuck. But she has one of my credit cards for like eight bands.
Right.
Eight bands, and she can run it up and whatever, I'll take care of it. So it's like, I'm, you know, I always have my kids back right now. She's 21, you know what I'm saying?
So wait, how many kids you got?
I got two daughters and I got one son. My son is going to be actually three on the 28th.
And how old's your other daughter?
21 and 13.
Wow, you really run the whole gambit.
Yeah, and I actually raised, you know, two boys that wasn't mine, that I have two daughters with their mom. And, you know, I think I did a great job helping them out and, you know, putting them in the right direction. And
so they're almost like stepkids too.
They're still like my kids. I wouldn't call them stepkids, but then I also wouldn't call them my kids because they don't call me dad, and I wouldn't allow that. I just basically, yeah, just, you know, look at me for someone, for guidance.
But again, for those same family things that you weren't able to get from your biological father.
Exactly. So, like, I got to basically provide and show them how to be men. So, like, you know what I'm saying? I did the best I could, and I let them know I'm not your dad. I don't want to be your dad. I'm your friend. I'm your, you know, somebody you can get, you know, good advice from and learn from, you know, some of my mistakes. If you gotta ask, I can't just tell you everything, you know what I'm saying? But
so it must in a weird way make the relationship with your dad almost harder to understand once you had kids of your own and you felt how deep the love was. You're like, damn, how could someone not step up for me? Because I know the feeling that I have for my kids.
Hey, you know, another crazy story, man, is that, you know, you see, I told you about my pops being German-American, so he has another kid, you know, that's like my mother's complexion.
Okay.
Right? And he, you know, his baby mom's, God bless her soul, she's a black woman. And, you know, I have a brother from my dad over there, but to be honest, like, I don't want to, like, I hate to say it, but that ain't his son. You know what I'm talking about? That ain't his real son. Like, he thought he was punching, and she was punching behind his back too, and she had a kid. And this kid came out like my mother's complexion, a little darker.
Mm.
And then, you know, my pops, you know, basically had me with my moms, and look what he did to me. He made me lighter.
Right.
So with, you know, my brother, he's the total opposite, which I know my dad is not his father.
Right. It just doesn't make sense. You're saying that?
Yeah, of course not. Like, they could go take a test right now. I don't know if my brother's listening. Like, I love you, but I'm just being honest. Like, look at your father. Like, that's my father. That ain't your dad. But it's all good. He, you know, my pops did the right thing by him since he fucked up with me.
He actually did a good job. Better job.
So
with
it's
him.
Like me, myself, and Irene with my dad.
Yeah, that is, for people who appreciate the reference, that is, you mean Jim Carrey and his three brothers?
Yeah, Jim Carrey with his three sons.
I mean, Jim Carrey with his three sons?
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey still thinks he's the dad?
Well, he knew he wasn't, obviously, because she left him with the kids, with the midget.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, she'll be but eating flubber.
Yeah, oh, once she'll be eating flubber, all
once
right,
I free Willie. Yeah, so it's like a case like that with my dad. Like, basically, he had a kid with this woman, and, you know, that's not his son, obviously. And so I said, I'm going to put this shit in my documentary because my pops didn't raise me. But still to today, my pops would probably go out his way and get on a train to go help my little brother out and, you know, help him out with his kids. So, like, motherfucker, you ain't do nothing for me or none of my kids. You ain't even meet my son yet.
Your son's three already.
And he's going to be three next week. So you ain't meet my son yet, but you'll get on a train to go take your son, which is my brother. I would never, that's my brother.
Well, by the way, even regardless of the biological part of it, that complication of the different way that parents treat their kids. I mean, me and my wife were just talking about this, like, and we both have great relationships with our parents, but sometimes because we don't have kids, the way your parents will talk about doing shit for their kids who have kids is like they forget that you even matter. They'll be like, well, you know, the kids are going to blah, blah, blah. And then when the kids blah, 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 and you're like, yeah, well, you still have kids. Besides your grandkids, you still have other children that would like your time. Like holidays, yo, when you're the adult kids who don't have kids, the level of afterthought you become relative to the grandkids is fucking crazy sometimes. And I know my parents love me, but I'm still like, guys, I still would love to see you on a holiday. I know I don't have kids yet. So even without all of those things, those relationships are fucking are complicated.
Yeah.
So when did you, so where did you end up settling after you left Far Rock and you run around with your sister for a while?
Yeah, yeah. So
where did you end up settling
down?
It's
crazy because after the Bronx and that little, like the situation with me having that fight and all that, and it got crazy, they wind up getting my sister like an apartment, right? And they told her, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Brooklyn or you want to go to Far Rockaway? So I looked at my sister like, let's go back home. Like, I got people in Brooklyn, but I'm not from Brooklyn. I was born in Far Rockaway, Queens, in St. John's Hospital. So I'm like, let's go home. You know what I'm saying? So she's like, what about, you know, just the feeling about mom? I'm like, I want to be around that. I want to smell Rockaway. I want to still think about my mom. You know what I'm saying? And here it is still today. Like, I think I had one dream with my mom. So it's like crazy. You know what I'm saying? I always wish I had more dreams. Just so
you,
like,
you only had one dream with your mom.
Yeah.
Huh?
Shit crazy, man. Like,
That experience, I'm sure there are people listening right now. Whenever people go through tragic loss, there's some people who get the dreams all the time and then other people who never get the dreams. And it's like there's no fucking rhyme or reason to it that you can figure out. You want it to be like a TV show where your mom comes and checks you all the time.
Yeah, just to have that feeling, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had one dream, but, you know.
You remember the dream still?
Yeah, she was sitting in the staircase. Like, it was kind of like similar to the last time I seen her. And she just told me, like, yo, you know, like, you're doing great. I'm proud of you. And then it's like, it just flashed. And I woke up like, what the fuck? Like, I want to go back to sleep. Let me get back to that dream. But it was like, it was just over. That's the only.
1 second.
Yep. And I'm like, wow, what? Well, how did that even happen? Like, you know, I always think about my mom's hair and there, especially on times where it's like, you know, Mother's Day or her birthday or, you know, just holidays. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, here I am, you know, 40 years old now. I lost my mom's at 11 explaining the story, and it kind of like me going through all that, it put me where I'm at today. You know what I'm saying? It made me a better father, made me a better person. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's some weird motherfuckers around here. Like I said, I dealt with a situation as a kid with my aunt. So it's like, you got to watch who you trust. I never let nobody watch my daughters when they were coming up. I never let nobody watch my son right now. Like, you know, my lady, she just went to get a job because she was, you know, home breastfeeding Tristan. And it's like, you know, her being pregnant and then, you know, being home with the baby, you know, and then he's, you know, going on two. And it's like, you got to get back to the world. So I'm like, listen, if you just want to get out and get a job, you know, you want to go to the gym, whatever the fuck you want to do, like, I'll stay with him now. And, you know, he just won't drink no milk until you get home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it. Like, you know, get a couple hours to getting back to life. She's like, you know what? I'll try to get a job. Fuck it. I think I need to, you know, get a job, start making some money. She's like, I'm tired of you taking care of the family. Because, like, you know, I hold everything down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't pay a mortgage. But just the, you know, the fact that I pay all my bills every month, you know, my cost of living went from, like, you know, $1,500, $2,000 to, like, $6,000-$7,000 a month.
What, over time just with kids, et cetera, and a wife?
Nah, from, you know, moving, you know, from living in the projects. You know what I'm saying? When you live in the projects, you got to meet your quota, and, you know what I'm saying, and basically try to have a little bit extra money to be stable. So you take advantage of living in the projects to try to save money and try not to, you know, buy so much expensive shit so you don't got to, you know, you be broke. You know what I'm saying? So you save some money. With me, you know, with all the music I dropped, I was basically able to go, you know, buy my house.
And when by the way, when we say drop a lot of music, I'm saying my man drops a lot of music, bro.
I mean, it was either that or I keep selling drugs.
When did you figure out, though? Because at some point you figured out that if you were to make the kind of music you make, for lack of a better word, underground, the kind of shit that I like and that a lot of people listening like, in order for that to be, you know, really financial, it could be really financially beneficial, but it requires dropping a lot.
In a sense, not really dropping a lot, like, because you don't got to drop a lot. You got to just know that, you know, when you release some music like this, you got to get, like, a couple fans that's going to support you. So, you got to learn the tricks and trades of this shit. You know what I'm saying? God bless Prodigy Soul. God bless Chinx, because those two brothers actually gave me some, you know, good advice when they were around.
What was the advice?
To basically just like when you dropping music, you can't just drop music and, you know, put it up on DSPs, you know what I'm saying? So like they was telling me like tricks and trades about, you know, the merch and all this shit, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, P introduces me to Griselda. And, you know, I met Wes and Khan in the hospital when they was, you know, visiting P when he was going through a crisis, God bless his soul. And we started building. And then, you know, when P passed away, I wound up going on the first tour of Griselda, and I saw everything they was doing and how they was doing it. So I asked a lot of questions, and I was just like, yo, how you do this? How you do that? If you don't mind, I want to start doing something like that, but I'm not going to try to bite your style. But I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here learning and seeing you guys do this. I don't want to go back to selling drugs. So, like, you know, Wes and Khan, they gave me some information, and, yeah, like, being able to go on those tours with them, I wasn't a part of no budget, so I never got paid with any shows I went on Griselda and I opened up. It was the opportunity was my pay. So I tell people that, like, you know, yeah, I didn't make no money. I actually came back to selling drugs from the tour. So it's like, you know, you see the bros and they go off a tour and they going to spend, you know, this and that on jewelry and, you know, getting new cars and this and that. And then it's like, damn, you go back to selling drugs. Like, shit, I gotta go harder. So, like, I learned everything about, you know, the merch. Like I said, I asked questions. I started doing similar shit, but not the same, because I would never want to bite nobody's style. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but you're talking about learning more about the what the business practices should be.
Yeah.
More than what you're not biting the art.
Yeah.
Like,
never.
There's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with learning what worked for someone's business method. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's method works, yeah, and you can figure out. That's just a gem you need in life to try to make it.
Yeah, you know, like being that Chinx and P was no longer here, and I feel like P introduced me to Griselda because he was telling me, like, I want you to fuck with these boys. Like, they talking that shit. They from Buffalo Flea. You got to tap in with them. I never even heard of Griselda because I don't listen to nobody. I listen to dead rappers. I listen to fucking soulful music. I listen to Anita Baker, stuff like that. Like, I get tired of rap all the time, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody's basically saying the same shit, and most of the time it's so negative. So even me, you know what I'm saying? I was telling my story. It was so negative in the beginning because it's like that I'm giving you my story, and that's what it is. So it's like most of the time people get tired of that shit. So, you know, right now where I'm at today, I could talk about some shit about, you know, it's going to celebrate. My music is about celebrating life. It's,
well, yeah, it has changed. It's changed from being about the bad shit to being like all the good shit that's happening for you.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not out here selling drugs. I'm not out here, you know, doing dumb shit. And I never was a person to, like, even promote, you know, shooting. So it's like I don't talk about shooting in my shit. So it's like, you know, that'd be lies. So I try to keep it reality based on what's going on, my life and some shit that, you know, you can relate to. Maybe it's going on in your life, your brother's life, one of your homies' life. They all can relate to this story because we all come from nothing and trying to get somewhere with it. You know what I'm saying? From, if it's not music, if it's you taking fucking, you do photography or you do videos, you sell merch, whatever the fuck it is, you know what I'm saying? It worked for me. You know what I'm saying? I did the music, man. And, you know, I listened to Prodigy. I got all the, you know, knowledge I needed from, like, people like Rock Marcy and Griselda and shit like that. And
so it was more essential to you to create, like, a small core base that are willing to spend actual money on your stuff. You think that's more important than even putting out a lot of music that can get streamed a lot? Or is a balance of both?
Well, with me, like, you know what I'm saying, I you know, you can put out merch, you know what I'm saying? You want to do, like, cassettes, you want to do vinyls, you want to do CDs, you want to do hoodies, hats, all this shit like that. So you have to buy a domain and have, you know, a website set up so you can try to reach the people and not sell shit on PayPal, through Instagram, all this dumb shit. You get a domain, LLC, trademark, all that shit. Like, I learned all of that, but had I not did that, I probably would have been kept and just kept on dropping music. And, you know, you get money off of, you know, royalties, but ain't really no real money, you know what I'm saying, unless you getting streams. So, like, being that I have all this music out, my royalty bag be pretty decent every month.
Well, that's what I meant about the amount of music too, is that once you now, if people after this interview go, yo, I'm gonna check out this Flea Lord guy, they're going to stumble into a bunch of shit they like. And once they end up in that algorithm, there's a lot more Flea Lord music to feed them.
Yeah.
You know, like, shit. Oh, here's Flea Lord and Ghostface. Here's Flea Lord and Rock Marcy. Here's Flea Lord. Yeah. Like, there's so much shit there.
Busta Rhymes, Fat Joe, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the list goes on. You know, I got to work with people like, you know, that's in, you know, in the category with me. Like, those are legends, you know what I'm saying? So to get embraced by them, like, that's amazing, because I'm just, you know, one dude from Far Rockaway, Queens, pushing my dreams with music and selling my story. But, you know, to have these guys embrace me and show me love and work with me, that's a different type of thing.
Well, I think everybody can see the kind of person that you are. I think everybody can see that you're a decent person, or just a decent person who's about their business. You do what you say you're going to do. You work incredibly hard, and you support the people who, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, listen, my story with Flea Lord is this. I don't even remember the beginning of it. I'm sure Flea Lord could fill me into some of it, but I'll tell you the part that stands out the most that I would want to share with the audience to know the kind of guy Flea Lord is. A, when I was starting my album process, Flea was the first single, was that Marcus Smart record, was the first record I was working on. So basically, you getting your verse, and I think was the first verse we got for the entire album.
Wow.
And shout to Stove God, who delivered pretty quickly as well, right?
Fire.
And Zumo, who did that record. But you, yeah. A, you did that verse right away, which got me in the mode. Like, the reason I actually haven't been able to really get going, frankly, on two the way I've wanted to, is that, like, I've been pursuing one or two records, and because I haven't gotten that early verse on, I've never gotten the momentum going. Like, I know I'm going to get there, but you gave it to me the first time. Pause. You early on.
Yeah.
Ayo. No, but that verse that you gave early on, first of all, set the whole thing in motion. Then, fast forward, we just kept kind of building, and I asked Flea if he could help me get Rock Marcy on a record. Without going into detail, Flea literally 100% got Rock Marcy on the record. So, like, yes, I have a relationship with Marcy. We have a super cool, respectful relationship. But that being said, he didn't do it for me. Flea got it done, like, just to be clear. And then, after Flea gets Marcy on the record, Flea then shows up to our, the night we had a little mini celebration. I just kind of just want everyone to know the kind of guy he is. Flea shows up to our album release celebration, hops in, says hello, hangs for about an hour, picks up the check, and fucking leaves. Before we could even do anything, I looked around, and I don't know if it was Disco Vietnam or Mark. Someone was like, Flea got the fucking tab. And I was like, son of a bitch. So, like, that is to make the point. You're the kind of person people want to fuck with. You're just a good dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do more than fulfill obligation. You're just an ace, man. And
thank you.
And then you deliver on the records too. Like, you gave the vibe to both of those songs that I was looking for. And I thought that the Rock Marcy joint, I thought when I heard the beat and I heard where Marcy went, I was like, I don't know, this could be tough for Flea, because it's a weird pocket, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and you know, Marcy doesn't even fucking believe in pockets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a goat. He just
goes wherever the fuck he wants to go and gets away with it. And I love your fucking verse on that record.
Thank you, bro.
I always thought you murdered it and more than lived up to your end of the deal.
Well, to be honest, like, you know, when it came to, like, you know, working with you, yeah, man, yo, you're a legend, bro. Like, I've been, you know, listening to you on the radio, and it's like, I see everything you do from, like, WWE, and it's like, yo, you the GOAT, bro. So when you gave me the opportunity to fuck with me, you know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, what? Rock Marcy needs Rosenberg needs a verse on me? Shit. I'm telling my people, like, yo, Rosenberg hit me, bro, and they're like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, yo, serious, bro? So it's like, I was super happy. So when it came to delivering, I was going to come with that shit for you, because I don't want to give you some bullshit. And you're like, yo, man, I'll fuck with Flea, but that was trash. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, by the way, those relationships exist, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, great dude, never gives me good shit. Yeah, Nobody wants that.
I just wanted to give you my best one and basically show you that I appreciate what you do, and for you to give me the opportunity. And even with Rock, you know what I'm saying? Rock is my bro. I'm like, yo, Rosenberg is working on a tape. I just sent in a verse. You know, he needs something from you, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we need it on our time. If you can get to it, please. You know what I'm saying? He like, Fleet, you said it's for Rosenberg. I fuck with Rosenberg. I haven't spoke to him in a minute, but I'm going to do it. Send me the beat, bro. I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I'm jumping on it. I need you on that because I don't want to just have my verse and he put somebody else on it. So it was already like meant for you. So it's like.
Well, and by the way, and again.
And I didn't have my verse on it.
Oh, right. And again, and to artists listening, and Flea's also smart too. It's like, don't get me wrong. You're number one being helpful, generous, and kind. You're also being smart though, because he already knows he has the one joint on the album with Stove God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this shit with me and Marcy on it will be hard as fuck too.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
so it ends up being a double win.
Yeah, and then they was working on, you know, some shit at that time too. So it was like, why not have, you know, one with Stove and one with Rock? You know what I'm saying?
It's perfect. Yeah. So yeah, it ended up being, it's amazing too. That whole record is like kismet, because Disco Vietnam, who made that record, he made it with Rock Marcy in his mind. Never told me that. That was all just like, I heard
that's,
it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he told me. He's like, yo, when I made that, I was like, oh, his dream was like, oh, if Rock Marcy could get on this record.
Wow.
And then you hear it, it ends up sounding
and
like
we made his dream come true. Yeah.
Yo, that night, that album night, Disco Vietnam was in fucking, yo, shouts to Barry Schwartz, bro. He's getting married this year.
Fire.
He did a fucking, he had a record with fucking Ghostface on the album.
Wow.
He had the Rock Marcy record. Nah, shouts to him, man.
That's a great placement right there.
No, he did. He did good.
To as a producer, you know, you want to work with legends like that. So for him to get that shot, man, like, yo, kudos, bro.
Yo, that night I stepped outside the restaurant and Ghostface called me. And I put him on the phone with Ghostface. It's on video. I put him on the phone with Ghostface. And my boy Barry, he's like, you know, he's a nerdy Jewish guy from Long Island. Like, who's my age?
I remember him.
Yeah, you remember? He's like 43.
Yeah.
You know, he works a regular job on Long Island, but he's still an ill musician. Like so many people out there who, you know, they continue to make music, they're grinding. You never know if you're going to ever make anything again or if you might stumble. And the ill thing about being a producer versus being a rapper, not to say you can't do it as a rapper, but it's harder. But if you're a producer, bro, you could look like a fucking mess. You could be 58 years old. You could live in the middle of nowhere. If you stumble on that shit, you might have a run.
All you need is one.
All you need is one.
All you need is one beat. And that one beat you can make, you know, a lot of money on. Shit could get your placements in movies, all type of shit.
Bro,
man.
Look at the run Conductor Williams on right now. He's going to do a J. Cole record. Yo, he did a Drake record?
Yeah.
Like, this all started with underground joints with all of our guys, or, you know, the last couple of years. Now he's popping up on everyone's big shit. Like, you never know where a wave's going to be. That's why, yeah, producers, it's a unique path. I recommend, if you're deciding between rapper and producer, and you're talented at both, I put more time into producing.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out to Pound. Shout out to 38 Special. Shout out to Ito. A lot of those rappers, you know what I'm saying? Look, even Crisis, he raps too. He's a rapper first, but he said he started making beats because he couldn't get beats from, you know, other producers.
So he started making for himself.
Yeah, so shout out to all those guys that, you know, that rap their ass off and make fire beats.
Like, Pound's producers too?
Yeah, he's been producing. Yeah, man. He's actually with Lord Mob too right now. You know, I've been building him, trying to, like, you know, help him, you know, basically, like, you know, let him do what he's been doing, but also remix it with a little shit that I teach you, you know what I'm saying? And maybe it can help you out.
So how many people are affiliated with Lord Mob?
Man, it's basically a lot of us, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been building with a lot of West Coast homies, so, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, basically, we got a couple people from the West Coast with TF and Funk P is, like, you know, they're Lord Mob, but they're also doing their own shit, everything Scandalous and Funk Pop, you know, Funk P be doing, like, his funk the shit, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, everybody, you know, they fuck with Lord Mob, but they also do their own thing. And that's what I tell people, like, yo, look, we all come together, we build as one, but you all could just keep doing what y'all doing too, because this is not y'all main focus. This is my main focus. So, like, I would, you know what I'm saying, whatever we work together, I do my best is pushing them and trying to get them lit. And, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people, Tiana, Denise, everybody's doing really good. G4, Jag, Mums is right here with us, you know what I'm saying? Another artist from Far Rockaway I've been pushing, and, you know, he got that shit. So, you know, I say maybe two more years of rapping for me, and I'm done. I'm just going to continue pushing the artists and, you know what I'm saying, and put them in position to make a shitload of money like how I'm doing right now, and I could get a couple dollars off of them and still do my, you know, my
merch.
That's
the way.
Yeah, like, shit. I mean, I'm eating pretty good right now, but I don't want to do this no more, you know what I'm saying, for too much longer. So, like, once I put somebody else position, they're going to be eating pretty good, and you could give me a percentage because, I mean, from what we doing right now to what we could be doing, it's going to be totally different. So even with you giving me a piece of the pie, you're still going to be doing better than what you're doing right now, I'm telling you, because the way I do things with music and business, I mean, I get people careers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and they're that little percentage that you end up getting, what you're giving them is years that you learn the business. They're getting a whole thing that you had to go through that they can kind of skip and jump to a different level because you went through it.
Yeah, I just had like an album release party the other night, you know what I'm saying? And it was like maybe like 25, 30 people in there. And, you know, it's not like I just played the song and then played the next song and played the next song. And about 10 to 15 minutes of us talking before I played the next song. I was dropping gems in there. And just basically feeding them the game. Like, if y'all don't know this, you need to know this. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that rap, right? And they think that they're, you know, doing it right. And they're not. They are just rappers. They're not artists yet. So, you know, they don't have their BMI, you know what I'm saying, their sound exchange and all this crazy shit set up. But, you know, that's the certain things you got to do to become an artist and separate yourself from a rapper. So, you know what I'm saying? There's motherfuckers that could run laps around us and rap, but they didn't get that opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So now with the opportunity, you got to seize your moment and do everything the right way. Because if you don't, you'll just be like every other rapper, just, you know, dropping a mixtape. You know what I'm saying?
How did you get the relationship with Prodigy?
Through some of my homies that was rapping with P called Hard White. You know what I'm saying? It was a gentleman, I don't even want to mention names because of situations like that they going through and I don't know what's what. So I'm not going to give niggas they flowers if, you know, they got some shit going on. So I'm not going to mention names. But Hard White, actually, my brother H, was one of the members. They all were cool with P. And, you know, I was around them selling drugs, Hard White. I was selling drugs at the time, Hard White. I was selling drugs at the time. And they was actually trying to shift it from, you know, being in the streets to do music. So they was cool with P. One of the homies went to high school with P, and I think it was art design. I think he went to, because my daughter went there too. So yeah, there was an art and design, and then they had that relationship. But that's how I met P, and I got locked up. And when he came home, P was actually linking up with one of the dudes that was staying at my crib. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, you know, going through some shit at the time, kind of like fucked up. So he lived with me at the moment. So P would come visit him, and then, you know, I got cool with P. And then P actually got to know who I was as a person. And once he felt me out, like, yo, damn, I fuck with Flea. Because every time I went around P, I never asked for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always paid for my own shit. And, you know, at this time, like, you know, I made sure I had a gun on me when I was running around with Prodigy, because you're a rapper. If somebody turn up on you, I have to be able to make it home to my family. So not only do I got to protect myself, I got to protect you too. You know what I'm saying? So you can put me in harm's way by shit you've been in the past. So I always had a gun around me, and, you know, P liked that shit, but then P didn't like it because he felt like hip-hop police was around him a lot too. You know what I'm saying? So, but me and P got actually really tight. We start hanging out at Griffin's, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to, the Pizza Pusher, Chris Barrett, good friend of ours. Like, P would always go to his nightclub. He had Griffin's and shit. And, you know, me and P would always hang out. P would sometimes crash at my nephew's crib down on 14th Street in Lower East Side. You know what I'm saying? He used to crash at my nephew's crib, and I had an apartment lived next door to my nephew's crib. So me and P, you know, we became brothers. And then, you know, he would, like, you know, basically try to make me rap and shit like that. So I really wasn't into rapping, like, because I knew what he and Chinx was going through at the time with music. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, man, I sell drugs, y'all. Yeah, I'm dealing with, you know, headaches. You know what I'm saying? So P, like, you know, I think you should fuck with it, though. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in the grace of God, like, I started fucking around with the music. And it worked, man. It worked, man.
And P, were you able to play him your music? Was he able to give you feedback?
Yeah, we were freestyle, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, I did one project called Law Talk Value 1. P walked in on one of my sessions. He pulled up with his son, Shaka. And he like, yo, let me get on that. So I'm like, I never asked P for a verse, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm still trying to figure out who I am, you know what I'm saying, as an artist. So P like, yeah, let me jump. I'm like, oh, fuck, hell yeah. So now while I was working on that project, I had a song that I wanted to get Conway on because me and Conway have been building. So I wanted to get Conway on that one. And, you know, we did Lord Talk Volume 1, shout out to God Bless. And then that was my first project. And, you know, Pete passed away. So, you know, it was kind of like discouraging. I wasn't sure if I wanted to even rap no more. Like, here it is. Chinks died and Pete died. And I'm like,
Chinks passed first?
Yeah. Yep, Chinks passed first.
And then, you knew Chinks totally separately just from Far Rock?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Chinks was from Edgemere, and me being from, like, Hamels, and it's crazy because Mums was from OV, so it was like when they was, all of us was kids, like, somehow, some way, they was beefing, and it was just like, we was young running around, and we would fuck each other up sometimes, probably jump each other, but, you know, me personally, I had friends in OV, I had friends in Edgemere, I had friends in Reference, so I was one of the ones that wouldn't get smoked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could actually chill with everybody in every hood, and it's fucked up because one of my mans got jumped and shit like that, and I couldn't even really do much. Like, shit, it was too many of them. But I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, come on, get up, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, like, they ain't fix them, but they rinsed them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but, you know, like, it was crazy because, you know, yeah, man, surviving all that shit and, you know, being able to Bill with legends and, you know, Chinks, you know what I'm saying? Like, I watched Chinks blow up, and it was just like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I was happy for bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we seen Stax do it, you know what I'm saying? I really wasn't too close to Stax. I just knew him, you know what I'm saying? And when we seen each other, we embraced each other always, you know what I'm saying, being from Far Rock. But, you know, me and Chinks was actually close through my cousin Viking and shit like that. And
when you think about Stack Bundles and Chinks, I mean, in some ways, Far Rock is like the most cursed place in the sense that the two biggest names that were on the verge of really going off, both were struck down before they went off.
I think about that, and I'm glad I actually moved from Far Rockaway to Lower East Side, and you know, moving to Lower East Side with my sister from the shelters and all this crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
it's just a.
Yeah, Far Rockaway is a hard place, you know what I'm saying? But
it's far, bro.
Yeah, everywhere is a hard place, though, as long as there's a gun and an idiot, you know what I'm saying?
Well said. So,
but, you know, the fact that, you know what I'm saying, like, the Chinks and, you know, Stax passed away and, you know, they shit got, you know, cut short. There's still so many artists out there, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Bino, shout out to Core 2G, shout out to King Streets, actually from my, you know, we from the same building. When I moved to Rockaway, he was living in the same building. So King Streets, Devi, you know what I'm saying, Fligger, you know, I could keep going on, you know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of artists right now from Rockaway that's still trying to push, you know what I'm saying? And they're reversing that cycle with, you know, being taken out early, you know what I'm saying?
I just pulled up Stack Bundles on Spotify to see, like, I had no idea, like, what music is up there. His main record on Stack Bundle's biggest record on Spotify is a song called Peep Game. 291,000. Oh, no. Mr. 17.5.
Oh, that's that shit.
Chinks was so close, man. He really, really was. What a lovely guy. I was a big fan of Chinks, man.
Yeah, Chinks was a star, man.
Yo, guys, listen, I strongly recommend you go check out this Flea Lord Full Court Press with Crisis. And once you get into the Flea Lord universe, a lot of music for you to enjoy there, man. Yeah, what would be definitely, after, besides this project, if you were to say one Flea Lord project, someone should be like, oh, I want to check out your music, what would it be?
Damn, I can't even, like, I don't know. I got fully produced projects with Muggs. You know, I got fully produced projects with Havoc. I got fully produced projects with God Bless His Soul, DJ Shay, you know, who put a lot of work in with Griselda. And actually, you know, I don't know if it would necessarily be a Griselda if it wasn't for, like, a DJ Shay.
I don't know.
I know he was behind him 150%. You know,
his studio is the reason so much of it was able to happen.
Yeah, I've worked with, you know, Buck Wild. I got Pete Rock. I got fully produced projects with all these people, so it's like I can't even name. But what I will say is that if you tap into my discography, you're gonna enjoy some of my old shit. But more so right now, where I'm going with this shit, I'm feeling like it's inspirational music. Like, you could tap in and wake up in the morning and want to make money and win in life without doing something negative. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a great way of putting it. This is off the Pete Rock.
Got a couple good scores, and he passed the homie.
I fucked with this joint too.
Yeah, it's hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got the bell with Pete Rock, man. Come on.
The whole project.
Yes. Live from the lobby, I survived all the bodies. Know some people that have put you in the sky.
Classic Pete Horns.
The watch and my shoulder blades blowing cage used to beat the block in my older days. My killers get
yo. His name is Flea Lord. Flea Lord, appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, man. Like I said, man, I'm a big fan of yours, and I don't consider you just a friend. I consider you family, man. You and Mark, man. You guys are, you know, y'all believed in me in the beginning, and you know now who I am right now. Yeah, man, y'all get to see what Flea became. You know, I'm always going to be 150 with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all got so much love and respect for me. I never shit on y'all ever. Like,
I appreciate
you. Yeah, whatever it is, man. You know, you got a genuine friend here, man.
I appreciate that very much. Yeah, Mark Top Shelf, of course, brought Flea in the first time with, what, Ito and Pounds? Is that? Yeah, him
and Pounds. That was me and Pounds. I don't think Ito was there.
Yeah, Pounds that day.
Yeah.
That was... It was right before the day, literally, it was COVID.
Matter of fact, yeah, COVID just hit and Pounds was already there. And you were set to interview me first. And I'm like, you know what? Yo, just bring Pounds in. Even though, like, Pounds wasn't with Lord Mob at the time.
Yeah.
But he was a homie of mine, you know, because I fuck with, you know, rappers from Buffalo and Rochester. So, you know what I'm saying? And they kept that sound going. So, it's like, I'm like, yo, just bring him in an interview so you don't got to interview two people at once. Let's get the fuck out of here. It's COVID, bro.
I know.
And he was like, yo, Flea, you cool with that? I'm like, yeah, yeah, cool.
And we didn't even know what it was. It was literally that day.
Yeah.
It was.
And look how many people died. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's, you know, crazy shit. You know, it's COVID, then it's this, then it's that. It's
but either way, but mad people
mad
died.
Mad people,
bro.
Man. God bless everybody because we lost a lot of people.
Yo, shout out. We lost just from hip hop in New York alone. Lost Fred the Godson, DJ K Slay.
Oh,
a lot
God.
Of people lost their life. Yeah. It's crazy right
DJ,
now.
DJ Shay.
A lot of people will literally try to tell you that nothing happened, even though you're like, but we know people who died.
Yeah.
They'll be like, nah, they were just old. Like, no, they weren't just
old. It was so much shit going on. I was out there doing projects, running around. Shout out to Big French, too, because when COVID hit, I basically did a project every month.
Yeah, you were one of those people who
and
dug
then I
in.
Bought, and then I bought my house for $500,000 the next year. Clean cash, 515 to be exact. My house was worth 600,000. You know what I'm saying? They brought it down to 545.
I'll tell you this right now. If you either talk to Flea Lord in real life or listen to his music, you will know one thing that he is very proud of and means a lot to him is that he paid for his fucking house and doesn't have a bill.
Yes. look, 2017, 2018, I didn't have a dollar to get my daughter an Icy. And she knows this. My little baby Heaven. And she's a miracle baby, too. That's why we named her Heaven. She knew that her daddy didn't have a dollar to get her Icy. And then here it is now. You come to this fucking $500,000 house your father owns. And I didn't buy the house without them being there. They actually looked at the house first. And I went through shit. I was trying to buy the house with $150,000 and, you know, pay the mortgage. And they were like, you know, my credentials, everything wasn't set properly. Like, Flea Lord ain't got his shit together still.
Right,
like,
I'm still. At that time.
So, yeah, and still a little bit right now. I'm still fucking up, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, I was just like, you know what? I ain't going to make it where it's one of those things too good to be true. So, you know, I fucking paid $550,000. Well, I tried to tell them I had $500,000, and they was like, oh, well, we'll take a hit on the house if, you know, because the house was worth $600,000. So they came back with the counter, and I jumped on the counter.
The people are the worst. Even when you come with the cash, then they still go.
Yeah, but I felt like it's me. Like, look at me. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, those type of people that, you know, that's basically selling me the house is like, but the dude that actually sold me the house, you know, he basically, you know, we had a good conversation. He was like, yo, I had three people come look at the house and I don't even want to sell them the house. Being that me and you're talking and I'm getting to fill you out and you brought your daughters here and my lady was pregnant with Tristan at the time. So it's like, yeah, I paid for the house in December and I moved in my house in January. You know, sometimes it takes about 2-3 months to get into a house. Like, I'm just learning this shit because, I'm a first-time homeowner. But, I even had a lien on my house. I didn't fucking know what the fuck it was going on. I never paid them a property tax. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, lien? And it was like, yeah, I said delinquent. I'm like, hold up, let me call. I called them, and they was like, yo, yeah, you didn't pay your property taxes for the year. I'm like, all right, so when I'm supposed to pay? So they told me basically it's quarterly. So February, May, August.
It's annoying, by the way. School taxes, property taxes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you don't, like, The cool shit is I don't pay a mortgage, so I really own my house outright. But you,
the not cool always, part is you still have to pay.
You're gonna always pay. You're like, this is their land. It's yours, but it's theirs.
Right. So that's I know.
Yeah,
bro.
But you know, so you know, I actually had to pay like $14,000, like clean, to get the lien removed, and I was just like, wow, that's a nice hit. But you know, I should have been paying it. I didn't know like nothing about it. But now I'm good. I'm 3 years in, living in my house, and you know, my
and,
house.
And look at the life that your kids get to live. How different that is than your experience. I mean, that's. That's all we can hope for, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, I basically praised everybody. Like, look, man, believe in yourself and don't give up, because you don't never know what could happen. I almost stopped rapping, and I would have been with a job and selling drugs. But here we are now, you know, Flea Lord stuck to the script, and I'm blessed to have a beautiful home and a beautiful family that's healthy, and we're all out the way. And staying out the way and eating.
Out the way to be.
Yeah,
Flea,
man.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, bro. Love, man.
Love, man, always.
My brother.
My man.
Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.